This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Keith, you ready to laugh off a blowout loss yesterday?
Yes, I am. Matter of fact, yes, I am. Why not?
Let's have a good chuckle about it, huh? That's what the Patriots players were doing. Oh, we got blown out. Oh, we couldn't even line up properly. Oh, we kept jumping offside. A million penalties. We're 3-9.
It's that weird time once again where you start to wonder, why do I care so much about it if they don't care about it?
Great question.
It's the worst. Every once in a while, that thought kind of creeps in your head as a fan, where you're like, I think I'm more annoyed that they lost and that they look this bad. Like, why should I? They're the ones that are out there on the field. Like, this is their job. And yet, nope. They, by all accounts, don't seem to really care too much about it.
No, they're checked out on the season, which does beg the question, what exactly are we doing here? It's Jones and Keefe. It's Patriots Monday. We'll talk to Hunter Henry and Christian Gonzalez about this today on a Patriots Monday. Don't miss Man to Man to Man. Three Men, 10 Questions with Christian Gonzalez.
Ooh, part two.
Part two.
The sequel.
We'll do that here today on Jones and Keefe. I hope he's listening to the name of the show here today. Dolphins blow out the Patriots yesterday, 34-15. There's a lot to get into, including the aftermath of it, the locker room in Miami, which was not like a morgue. Sounded like the players were having a good time in there, despite the blowout.
They're Miami.
It's place. True. I'd be sad we were leaving I were one of the players.
That's a good point.
Patriots, though, it was as bad as it gets, Keith. It was 24-0 in that second quarter. I know it started early, the frustration for you. Not going for it on fourth down, false start penalties, can't align properly, giving up a billion points in that second quarter, non-competitive and as bad as it's been in a good month plus here for this team.
Yeah, I mean, you thought they were taking a little positive step forward, and a lot of it had to do with Drake May. I mean, we were talking about, hey, look at Alex Van Pelt kind of looking up, and like overall, like, you know, they're splitting games over the last four. You have an overtime loss in there, and you know, plenty to pick apart, but you know it's a bad team. Nobody expected the team to have a great record. But there was a four-game stretch where you're like, all right, a little sign of life. And even if they end the year with four, maybe even five wins, do you feel better going into next season? Was there any shot that this team is improving? Right? Like, that's something, that's a small yet important kind of victory you can take. Is, yeah, it started out bad, and the roster is clearly bad, but by the end of it, you're like, I don't know, I feel pretty good about like this player, this group, this thing. Yesterday kind of took all that and like threw it in the trash. It was like, this may have been their worst game, start to finish. I know they had like a brief sign of life, so they didn't just like lay down and die. I don't know how much credit you want to give them for that. But that overall might have been the worst performance by the team this year, and it's week 12.
Yeah, and we said this about a bunch of the losses early in the year. I feel like we haven't said this in a while. And so, yeah, give them credit, I guess, for the last month. We were starting to say the arrow's pointing up. They're getting better. They're not with the dregs of the league anymore. They're like a tier above that. They're not a dead body team like some of these other teams.
No. We're about to reassess.
We're going to have to reassess where the Patriots are at. But this feels like the Jets lost on Thursday Night Football. The Niners lost the following week, where you look at the score and you go, it was 34-15. It felt worse.
Yeah.
It felt like they weren't even in the game.
Jacksonville was a bad one.
Jacksonville was another terrible one. Like, it feels like we haven't had to say that in a while.
No, this was a bloodbath. They gave up 24 points in one quarter. You imagine that? Imagine giving up 100 points in a game. Like, that's basically what they would have done.
They were trending towards
that
the wilt.
Quarter.
Yeah.
They gave up 24. They're down 31-0. They get a miraculous touchdown, which is like, you probably couldn't even duplicate that again. Like, yeah, nice play by Drake May and Hooper, but whatever. The Dolphins are playing way back, and they end up getting that play. And then they score another one because the Dolphins' backup quarterback can't take a handoff. So they gift you another one. So 34-15 is your final, but that thing felt like it was 50-0.
Yeah.
Like, that's really how the feeling was.
So we'll get to all your thoughts on it. 617-779-7937. The penalties were maddening yesterday.
That was wild.
10 of them, 9 in the first half, 6 in the first quarter. We were joking about this. It was like, my turn, your turn, Vidarian Lowe.
Lowe and Jacobs.
Demontre Jacobs just one trading
each
off.
Other. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they had
I think it might have been an even split, right? They both had 3?
I think it finished that way.
Good for them.
So just, I don't know.
On to the next game.
Did they take out a prop before the game where they had to have more penalties than the other guy?
It's crazy.
And it was like constantly trying to play catch up the whole game. So who is that on? I mean, the roster's bad. I see a lot of that already in the Twitch chat. The roster's bad. This is a poorly coached team.
Yeah.
And this is a team, and this is how teams look, where you wonder if the coach is going to survive. Like, honestly, it was that bad yesterday. He chose for them not to have a padded practice on Wednesday.
Nice.
Go through it in shells. And the team went out and looked like they weren't ready.
No.
And I think there's a direct correlation to how you practice during the week and how ready you are, how well coached you are. I talked a ton of crap about Mike McDaniel last week.
He looked good.
His team coached circles around Mayo yesterday.
He looked good.
It wasn't even close.
So they're the get right team. They've been the get right team. There was a couple of brief hiccups there, right, where, you know, they get a win over the Jets and the Bears. I thought the Bears were going to beat them. That was one that I was really surprised by. Because for the most part, this is maybe my biggest surprise, and there's so many different ways to sort of pick it apart, but this defense, even with the loss of some of the bodies that they have had, right, you can't make excuses for everybody, but, you know, no Bentley, Peppers, whatever, this team still has had, they've just allowed these monster games to opposing quarterbacks all year. Tua Tagovailoa has never looked as good as he did yesterday. Matt Stafford has never looked as good as he did last week. Trevor Lawrence hasn't looked as good as he did in the game in Europe. Mason Rudolph, I think, had his best game. There's a few others. Geno Smith played well. Like, there's a lot of quarterbacks that are like, oh, thank God it's the Patriots defense, and then just light them up. And I can't remember the last time that happened. I mean, that was probably in the early 90s. That's probably like pre-Parcells, where guys would come in here and be like, oh, we can torch the Patriots defense like
every
this.
Single quarterback they face, it's true. Just about.
They're lighting it up.
They have career days or the best games of the year against the Patriots, and it's at bare
minimum. Aaron Rodgers, look how bad Aaron Rodgers has been this season. And that week 3 game
was probably the best game he played all year.
By far the best game he's played all year.
Like, surgical is the word that comes to mind when quarterbacks play the Patriots.
Yes. Yeah.
They surgically
they're comfortable.
Pick you apart every single week.
They throw multiple touchdowns, and they're just in command. And that's what you saw again yesterday. I know Tua's had success against, you know, the Patriots really every time he's played them. I mean, he's now 7-0 against the Patriots.
Well,
but yesterday he was on fire.
When you have weapons like Jonnu Smith.
Oh, yeah, you get the ball to Jonnu Smith.
That makes sense.
Guy could scoot. There's a lot there with Jonnu Smith. He's like a bit like the bigger part of their game plan. Like, they go to Jonnu Smith all the time, and he's good for them.
Oh, yeah, no, it goes Tyreek Hill and then Jonnu Smith. I take that back. Maybe Achan, Tyreek Hill, and then Jonnu
Smith. Waddle had a good game. Waddle has not had a good season.
No, he's lower in the pecking order than Jonnu Smith. And by the way, you let Waddle have the best game of his season.
Waddle was incredible.
617-779-7937. One of the many ways you can get in touch with Jones and Keefe on a Patriots Monday. A lot to get to here today. You can text the show 37937. Interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy conversation going on there. You can also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. You want to get into some of this locker room stuff, Keefe?
Because let's get into it.
This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
And this is why people like Dov Klayman are wondering aloud on Twitter
Bob
whether
Freeman,
or not.
Who I didn't even know was a real guy.
I thought he was AI generated.
Yes.
I didn't realize he had takes.
He has takes.
He is wondering aloud on Twitter yeah, whether or not Gerard
sure
Mayo
the
survives the
guy
year.
From that, sold the account to some random person.
Okay, he's asking now.
No kidding.
Whether or not Gerard Mayo is going to get fired. I don't know how reputable of a guy he is. I don't even know if he's a real human being.
He's not reputable. He just takes other people's stories and posts it with a graphic.
But I saw that.
That is true.
I saw that
I
today, and I go,
Keith.
I go. That's a national conversation about your head coach. And it should,
oh, yeah.
It should continue based on the way the locker room was after the game. Because you're in charge of the locker room. That's one of the things you're in charge of. How you practice, they didn't go out with pads on. How your locker room acts, are they afraid of you? Do they listen to you? Clearly, they don't listen to the coaching staff the way they play out there. Callahan tweeted this after the game. He's the first person I saw that had it.
Uh-huh.
That was one of the lighter Patriots locker rooms after a bad loss I can remember. Not a happy locker room.
No.
But more players smiling and joking than normal to say it felt at least accepting of the blowout and their reality at 3-9.
Okay? I mean, there's a big difference between, you know, putting a loss behind you and then just, like, also not even, like, not even feeling that you know, I don't know if dread's the right word, but like you should feel bad after a loss. That should have, I mean, Kyrie Irving to me was one of the most crazy examples where after they lost in the playoffs that year to Milwaukee, I think it was, and he gets up there on the post-game press conference, he's like, well, now's not the time to be upset. But no, now literally is the time to be upset. You don't need to hang on to this for the next 6 years of your life. Like, I get it. You need to have a short memory and be on to the next one. But in the immediate aftermath, where you got embarrassed on television, there was a full stands of people, and like a lot of people watching at home saw how bad of a performance you had, and you're just like laughing it up in the locker room. That's annoying, and it kind of speaks to they're checked out on the season. They're not really worried about Mayo punishing them or having any kind of like.
There's
know,
no repercussions.
No repercussions.
So, okay. But that's just Andrew Callahan's take, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's just. Look, I like his work, but maybe you say, well, it's just one reporter. That's their interpretation. Mark Daniels. And he goes in great detail that Drake May was, you know, in his feelings after the loss, taking it hard.
Okay.
He goes around the corner.
He cared.
From Drake May. It was a different scene. With several players on offense smiling and laughing with one another. Like, guys, it's like my kid. My kid's excited he has like half a week before Thanksgiving.
That's how
they're acting. They're like,
oh, it's a crazy week.
Oh, I can't wait to watch some football and eat some turkey on Thanksgiving. The season's almost over. Like,
good luck
yeah.
to the teachers today and tomorrow.
The offense, well, not everywhere.
Yeah.
Marblehead and Beverly. Yeah. The offense smiling and laughing with one another. It was a strange scene for a team that was embarrassed by the Dolphins. He says, although not everyone was happy.
Oh, good.
Several players were upset.
Oh, really?
The sounds of light laughter.
What are you laughing about?
Filled the side of the room where the offensive players got dressed. So not only were people laughing it off, it was the crappy offense that was laughing it
off. I mean, you can't wait 10 minutes. Like, honestly, you can't wait until at least the media is gone to pretend like you care about winning and losing.
I'm not sure all our listeners know this, but you know this. They know when the media is coming in.
Yeah.
And it would be easy to either laugh it off before the media gets in there or wait until after the media is gone. But to do it while the media is in there.
Yeah, you don't care at all.
It means either you don't care or you're doing it intentionally.
Right.
You're doing it intentionally so the media hears it, sees it. It's one of those two things. Either you don't care and whatever, whoever hears it, or you're making a point of it.
Because I think it's like an old school mentality to be like, oh, you have like a silent plane ride home and like nobody should talk about anything other than the game. Not the reality. I don't think that's really what's expected. But there is a difference between that and then just like laughing around like after the game. It's like, all right, you don't really care. I can't see any kind of changes happening with this team the rest of this season. And then you wonder if it's a lot of this group. And I know there's always turnover, free agency trades and everything. But if it's this coaching staff and a majority of the players next year, why on earth would you think it's going to be any different?
One more, Bedard. A Boston Sports Journal. He said the vibe in the Patriots postgame locker room was .. interesting.
Interesting. I said it was interesting.
I've been trying to come up with the right word for it. I think I've settled on unbothered.
Unbothered.
I've been in a bunch of different NFL locker rooms over the years.
Brag.
Ooh.
Brag City.
Including several on the other side when the Dolphins weren't so hot post Dan Marino.
Yeah.
And in most, again, brag. And in most cases, if you laid an egg like that, they trailed 31-0 at one point against a divisional opponent, especially one that entered with a 4-6 record. Good point. Dolphins aren't good either.
No, they're not.
You'd pretty much expect everyone to be miserable, irritable, and not a whole lot of fun to talk to. He said guys were affable.
Oh.
Insightful.
How about that?
There were even smiles and some jokes.
Ooh. Does he have an example of any jokes?
He did not give me any jokes. I did hear Mayo say that, I guess, Vidarian Lowe was smiling.
He smiles.
But that's he smiles all the time.
But that's his gimmick.
He's a smiley guy.
Smiley guy.
He loves smiling. Smiling is his favorite. He's, he's, you know, Buddy the Elf. Exactly.
All right.
There was no tension in the air where you feel the need to walk on eggshells. There was no whiff of players being pissed or embarrassed, which made the rank and file the complete opposite of fans at home and on social media who were venting hot and heavy after this one. So I'll tell you, Keith. In game, I got some of the angrier tweets from Patriots fans that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fire Mayo. This goes all the way up to crap. Well, that's how we all feel on the outside. That's not how they feel in the locker room, apparently.
No. Which is another reason why you have to seriously consider moving on from Mayo at the end of the year. I think, you know, every year coaches get fired, and sometimes after, you know, one, two seasons, and they just grab somebody else, and that's not working either. And there's always those jokes about, like, well, how can you establish anything? How can you get anything going if you don't have, if you don't give these guys a chance? And I get that, but every situation is unique. You saw, for example, Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. Should they have given him a second year?
Nope.
No, you would have made that even worse. You would have torpedoed Trevor Lawrence even worse. There are plenty of examples of guys that were one and done, and it was probably the right call. Like Freddie Kitchens didn't need multiple seasons to figure that out. There are also examples of like Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, Hugh Jackson with Cleveland. Why'd you give those guys another year? Only because that's what you should do? I think there were warning signs for all those guys that they weren't going to turn around. It's not just record. Like, record's the easy thing. You could just take the five worst records every year and be like, fire those coaches. That's what you could do.
This is not just the record.
It's not just the record. They have their worst game in week 12. It's also, like, how they're reacting to it. There's no true signs of progress. And we might have been fooled for, like, a couple of games. Strictly Drake May. That was only Drake May that was kind of saving Alex Van Pelt, maybe kind of saving Jerod Mayo. You slow played your rookie quarterback, who happens to be your best player on the team, and now that he had a bad game, that look what that looks like. If he doesn't play well, you're down 31-0, and then it's just a non-competitive game. So I would just, for those that want Jerod Mayo back next year, I'm all ears as to why. Like, for real, like if you have a good reason why outside of you just got to give coaches a second year, I don't know what else it could possibly be.
Yeah, and what specifically about this guy deserves a second year, because it's a mess. And I'm with you. It's not just the win total. It's not just being 3-9. It was the embarrassment yesterday. It's that the players don't seem to care. It's that every single day he sticks his foot in his mouth and then screws it up again and makes it even worse.
Yeah, he had like, another good one last night.
I see people on hold already. You know, Mayo's interview was foolish on the Greg Hill show today.
Yeah.
Like, he had something in the press conference before the Greg Hill interview.
He's got a lot of good quotes.
Establishing winning culture. And he's like, oh, I never thought we'd do that in year one. It's like, you didn't?
No.
Oh, you didn't? What are you doing? What are you here for if you're not going to do that? So this one yesterday, I'll acknowledge, Keith, it was a bit of a leading question.
Okay.
He came out and he said, it's about me. It's about this. There's a question at the tail end of the interview. It is leading, but you know what? I don't give the guy the benefit of the doubt anymore.
You can't. Oh, by the way, a good idea.
Yeah.
And this could probably be a part of it.
Yeah.
For the holiday season coming up,
mm-hmm.
What about a daily Jerod Mayo quote calendar where we take the 365 best quotes from Jerod Mayo and you do the little flip calendar and every day it's a new one and this could be one of them.
You want to do 365? There's or just 25 down to Christmas?
Oh, no. Yeah, the Mayo calendar.
Oh, an advent calendar?
Yeah,
that's a good one, too. No,
yeah.
I was thinking, like, for a gift for... Usually, calendars are a popular gift because you're starting the year over fresh.
Oh, I see.
So you open it on
like
Christmas.
Like a Far Side flip calendar.
So instead of a hilarious cartoon, you get a Jerod Mayo inspirational quote.
You get a hilarious quote instead.
They all start with, I will say this.
He had a good one of those, by the way, his opening comment.
Yeah, all of them today.
Long pause, question. He's like, I will say this. It's about us. No, so this was a leading question. I'll acknowledge this is a leading question, but still a terrible answer.
George, you say it starts with you, but when do the players have to start looking at themselves? I mean, you can only do so much. What is it on the players?
I mean, look, it's always, look, once those guys cross the white lines, there's nothing I can do for them. There's nothing any coach can do for them once they cross the white line. It's my job to continue to prepare not only them, but our coaches to go out here and play better football.
Okay.
So that is a brutal quote.
Nothing you can do for them, probably right.
No.
Nothing any coach can do for them, I would say that's wrong.
So that's a brutal quote.
Yeah.
And if you really break it down, it's probably not the most egregious thing in the world. Like, if Andy Reid said that today, you'd be like, okay, like your team's winning all the time and you're giving the credit to a lot of the players. When the players suck and you're like, hey, that's them out there, now like you're taking all the blame off yourself, putting it on them. And I know I referenced Sean McVay probably too much, But one of the reasons why he was credited with like turning around Jared Goff, remember this at the time? So he can talk to the quarterback until certain whatever seconds left on the play clock,
like
15
seconds or something.
But like that was the thing. Like he's walking the guy through while he's on the field. Not only is he calling the plays, but he's telling him all this stuff. He could point everything. You could talk to him for like 20 seconds. You could talk to a defensive player. Well, one guy's got the dot on there. That also is a Gerard Mayo quote that sounds like a guy who's never called plays before. Because calling plays in game, you can very much help or hurt players
on
your team.
There's nothing you can do during the game, Keith. Nothing you can do as a coach.
You do here.
Great question.
He's
literally been asked that question earlier in the year. He did not give a satisfactory answer.
No, he did not. And then this, he kind of like doubles down on like, all right, so you do a bad job all week in practice, then you kind of throw your hands up. So why are you even on the sideline?
Yeah.
If there's nothing you can do for them once they take the field, why show up?
So, what the hell is wrong with you people?
So look,
seriously,
it was not a banner day for the Patriots yesterday on the field or after it, as the players in the locker room, at least on the offensive side of the football, were laughing it up. I can't wait to ask Hunter Henry about it. I'm going to guess, Keith, he's a serious man. I'm going to guess he wasn't one of the guys laughing, but I am curious to hear his answer. We're also going to talk to Christian Gonzalez today on a Patriots Monday, got in the end zone yesterday, man-to-man to man. 10 questions, 3 men. We'll do that coming up with Christian Gonzalez here today. We have what happened. We'll take a spin around the NFL with some actual good football games. That comes your way at 11:20. We'll get to all your feedback here on a Patriots Monday. Pats get blown out. How does the loss impact Gerard Mayo's job security? We'll get further into that after trending.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
With Billy Lanny.
Gerard Mayo yesterday after the game. Just a debacle of a loss for the Patriots. Non-competitive. Man.
As bad as it's been in a month plus. You got players laughing in the locker room after the fact. Mayo saying there's nothing he can do once the players get out there between the white lines.
His job is done.
I mean, it's just that's what's going to get him fired, Keith. If he gets fired, and you guys can weigh in on that all day long here on a Patriots Monday, 617-779-7937. You said this earlier, and I agree 1,000%. It's not that they're 3-9. What's going to get him fired is that they look incompetent. They don't know what they're doing. The Marcus Jones story didn't help last week. By the way, not one snap on offense in this game.
No. They went the other way with it. They're like, oh, see, this, of course, we were only going to sprinkle it in, so he didn't need to know.
So, like, that didn't help?
No, that's insane. The communication thing, too. Like, they preach this communication.
Collaboration.
Knocking down silos.
Breaking down silos, right. Keith. And then you get
didn't even know.
People being like, well, it's not my job to tell. DeMarcus Covington told us on Friday.
Not his job.
I'm not the guy to talk to. Go talk to somebody else.
Well, he's got his hands full on having a terrible defense.
Absolutely had his hands full yesterday.
Like their defense blows.
So they're not going to fire Mayo maybe at all this year, but certainly not in season. Would they fire Covington in season?
I don't think so. I don't think they'd fire any first-year guy. I don't think they would. Teams have. I don't think at this point with 5 games to go, I'd be surprised. I mean, I guess you can't really rule out anything. I think they're going to have a long reassessment in the offseason.
I would hope.
Where hopefully anything is up for grabs.
I would hope. So how did that impact Mayo's job security? Let's get to that with your phone calls here on Jones and Keefe. Again, a Patriots Monday. We'll talk to Christian Gonzalez. We'll talk to Hunter Henry. We have what happened coming up. Less than an hour from now, we'll take you around the NFL with all your Patriots phone calls. Dan is in Haverhill. Good morning, Dan.
Dan?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me. I was just in regards to Mayo and his coaching, the field product. By halftime, I was outside rigging leaves. I'm sure a lot of people in the living room were doing that. If you're looking for a fan base as this sport's growing internationally and as kids are getting into the sport and you want people to be Patriots fans. At what point do you cut the cord on Mayo? And I think, honestly, if it's not happening in the season with Kraft, it's not going to happen in the offseason. Everyone knew, NFL Network, the whole media knew that he was kind of a hand-picked coach by Kraft, and I think he wants to maintain that, whether it be illusion or not, that he's kind of in charge of the decision-making there. Ultimately.
Yeah, so Dan, I mean, he came out before we were talking about the Rodgers game earlier this show. He came out before that game on Amazon and was bragging about how 5 years ago he knew Mayo was the guy and on the trip to Israel, and that was when he wanted to bring him in. And we know he had in writing a year ahead of time, perhaps longer than that, that he was going to be the coach to take over for Bill Belichick. So that is all about Kraft. I think, Keith, there's a shift from you on Mayo with the team. Maybe I'm incorrect. You've said before, you're fine moving on from Mayo. I'm fine moving on from Mayo.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think the team will realistically look at it this offseason? Has it gotten that bad, or is this just still you talking, not what you think the team will do?
So I think Robert Kraft has to look at it. I think he really does. Now, there's a couple things. One, you know, do you want to be the team, just in general, that fires your coach after 1 year? He was very proud about how he has only hired three coaches in his time, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I've been coaching a long, I've been, you know, on the team for a long time, only had three coaches. Like, the guy you just fired was here for over 20. So, like, he kind of took all, like, you hired Pete Carroll, he's here for 3 years, then he was gone. Made the team worse each year. And then you got Bill Belichick, who was great for 20 years, or give or take 20 years. And now you have this guy who you love, and you compared him to choosing a wife. So I think that is such a strong bond. I probably still wouldn't bet on him being fired after 1 year. I think that Robert Kraft having to go back on so many things that he has said. However,
you have to worry about damaging the brand. Like, I think the caller's right about that, though. Yeah, like, you don't want to look panicky, and you want to be the patient owner and all these things, and that's fine. But now you're staring down the barrel of damaging your brand, and bringing back Mayo has the potential to do that. That's why I think...
Do you think...
I think he's going to look at it this offseason. Yeah. It would not shock me at all if Mayo's fired.
Do you think him not making the Hall of Fame has any impact on this decision? Like, positive, negative, or no? I wonder if he's just like...
If he was going into the Hall of Fame, would that make him, oh, I'm this magnanimous guy, and I'm patient, and I take my time.
Or
and now
maybe just like less of a push to get your team super relevant again.
Good point. Yeah, maybe if anything...
I wonder if he's like, man, if I can somehow...
If I had to pick one or the other, I don't know how much of a difference it makes, but if I have to pick one or the other, I'd say it makes him more likely to make a rash decision. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I think just the way... It's obviously very important to him, and missed it once again. And, oh, by the way, his team might be picking in the top three again. And so would you rather be on primetime all the time and showing you? And every time they show the owner's box for 20 years, it was usually celebrating another conference championship, Super Bowl victory, whatever. Now every time they show him and Jonathan in the box, it's, oh, you're down 21-0. Oh, you're down 28-0. Oh, your team just turned it over. Oh, another penalty. Like, you're overseeing this, like, horrible operation right now. So I think the need to see it turn around, I think, is probably heightened.
Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? I wouldn't see Mayo getting fired anytime soon. I mean, that's why he's up in Bob Kraft's office last year instead of at coaches' meetings. But if he wanted to make a calendar, Keith, I would put this number one. When asked about Drake May or something, he actually said, well, if we won yesterday's game, the whole narrative would change. If you won yesterday's game, like, you played in the
They're
NFL
so close.
As a successful player.
They're super close.
If I hit Mega Millions tomorrow, my narrative changes too, which is I'm probably closer than winning that game. Yeah. That's pretty scary.
Yeah, that is.
The narrative does change. Have they just pulled that one out?
It is.
Have they won that game, things are different.
Yeah. If they won that game, I would feel better about it. Yeah, I would. The narrative would be very different.
At no point in that game did you feel like they were going to win it. At no point. Well, I mean, maybe a minute and a half in. Because the Dolphins didn't score in the first quarter. But
you wanted them to go for it on the opening fourth and short,
right? I did. I think the mentality of this team should be aggressive. Be aggressive. Believe in your players. And, oh, by the way, it seems like Alex Van Pelt actually has some decent plays. The two-point conversion.
Nice play.
Pretty slick little play.
Well, the double
Great
pass.
Double pass.
Yeah, the double pass, not so much, Keith.
Oh,
the two-point conversion was a good play.
No, they just had the wrong guy. Not to talk about my athleticism, but I can't. Not throw it as far as Kendrick Bourne.
That was
a horrible throw.
Wounded duck of
what
a throw.
What was that?
I don't know.
Don't you have
I didn't think Ramondre gave it a great effort, by the
so
way.
So Alex Van Pelt,
like, bend at the knees a little bit. Like, he just, like, kind of bent over like my grandfather would bend over for that thing.
Alex Van Pelt didn't know that Marcus Jones could play offense, right?
Correct.
Do you think he ran through his wide receivers and were like, hey, have any of you guys thrown? Can any of you guys throw? Because, like, Edelman was an obvious one. Edelman could throw, and he could throw darts.
Bourne has thrown. I thought Bourne has been okay when he's thrown him in the past.
Ugh, that was brutal.
That was a duck.
That was really bad. Maybe they don't have anybody else who can do it.
I feel like Bourne has done it and done well with it. I could be completely off base with that.
All right, let me see if he's thrown. He has thrown one pass in 2021, a 25-yard touchdown.
Oh, 25-yard touchdown.
That was his set. Yeah, I mean, he's got a...
He's got
a perfect quarterback rating.
How open must that guy have been?
Yeah, I don't remember that play, but it was in the 2021 season when things were actually going pretty well. So that's only his second career pass attempt.
Okay. So me saying I remember, like, I couldn't pinpoint that one, I don't remember.
That was a horrible throw. That was like the guy's like, hey, maybe take the glove off. Like, he didn't really seem to have a grip on it. They kind of, like, pushed it. Like, you can zip it over there a little bit more if you want.
Can I tell you, I'm not the biggest Bill Simmons guy, but I have been enjoying Bill Simmons just eviscerating the Patriots every Sunday.
Oh, yeah. So I agree with him on, like, are you going to talk about just how soft the play calling
is? He says, this Pats game is indescribable.
Yeah.
It's like a 2024 greatest hits compilation of all the bad coaching, dumb plays, scared coaching, and inexplicable penalties this year. This team is getting worse. Kraft will do nothing and bring everyone back. No way he pays two coaches.
Yeah.
Is how he finishes that. But, like, Simmons just eviscerating them every Sunday is pretty entertaining.
I think he's spot on, too, about the scared coaching. Like, not every team is the same. So if your team is fighting for a playoff spot and it's a scoreless game and you want to play field position, I get it. I'm not. Well, who was it? Brandon Staley? Like, I'm not going for it on every single fourth
down. Yeah. I mean, Campbell even does that.
But for this team, why not? Fourth and a yard and you have Drake May, give him a little confidence. Your defense isn't stopping anybody anyway. Give the Dolphins the ball at the 20, 30, 40, 50. They're probably going to move down the field and score. So I think they should overall go for it a lot more. Now, fourth and 16 or whatever, like, yeah, they're a little bit different, but fourth and ones and twos, overall, they should be going for it.
Worst parts of the game yesterday, you can jump in. That double pass was down there. 617-779-7937. What does that loss do to Gerard Mayo's job security? Bill Simmons thinks there's no chance that Kraft moves on from. They're just going to run it back. Do you agree or disagree? Would that be the right move? Patriots players laughing it off in the locker room, of course. We'll ask Hunter Henry about it. And are Drake May's turnovers becoming a massive problem for the Patriots? He's avoided our wrath to this point. We'll get to Drake May his day next. Drake May following the Patriots' 34-15 blowout loss yesterday in Miami. You know, as bright as the future looks for Drake May, the turnovers every single week is something you got to look at. We've highlighted the fumbles in the past. That to me is almost the more alarming out of the two. Like,
yeah.
Young quarterbacks throwing interceptions, I get it.
Yeah.
You have to wonder if fumbles are something that there is a ball security issue there. As you said, you can't be trying to pull a swim move on a defender.
Would have been sick, though, had he pulled off the swim move.
It would have been pretty awesome if he pulled that off. So a nitpick from yesterday's loss. Patriots dropped to 3-9. It's Patriots Monday here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We'll get back to your feedback, 617-779-7937. We'll take you around the NFL with what happened coming up about a half an hour from now. But joining us here on a Patriots Monday is Hunter Henry, Patriots tight end. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Hunter Henry, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, guys.
It felt like you guys have been building on offense the last few weeks. Obviously not what you were looking for yesterday. What went wrong?
Just penalties really bad. Just started the game slow. Just all around just really bad football and yeah, just not good enough on any front from any of us, and just a tough pill to swallow. And we've got to be better, obviously. Starts with me and trying to lead better, trying to be better, just trying to finish this season strong in the way we can.
You know, what's the mood like at halftime in the locker room? You know, your guys' second possession, you actually moved the ball pretty well. That's where it ended up being a missed field goal. After that, not a whole lot doing, and you find yourself down 24-0. So is it quiet in the locker room? Is there a lot of talking and adjustments, or what's going on there at halftime?
I mean, yeah, there's stuff we're talking about. I mean, obviously we're down and out, but we just got to take it. You just attack it the same way you were going to attack it before. I mean, you got to take it one play at a time. Like, you're not going to be able to obviously get it all back in one play or one drive. You know, I felt like we're able to kind of mount something. Obviously, defense came out and played good in the second half, and felt like we were able to string a few things together offensively, just with some of the no huddle stuff, but still just not good enough on any front and at all. But you know, proud to go to bat with these guys. I really am, and just felt like guys continued to compete no matter what the score was. Continued to go. I mean, proud of Drake and just how he continued to fight and continue to bounce back even with everything going on. And you know, we just got to be better on all fronts.
After the game, there were multiple reports about the locker room, the scene in there. One cited some laughter from offensive players in the locker room. You seem like a serious guy. We talk to you every week. Did you hear any of that? And how would you describe the scene in the locker room after the loss?
No, I didn't hear any of that. I don't really know who reported that. I mean, I feel like maybe someone was just trying to break a story. Or
it was Mark Daniels of the of Mass Live had that. Bedard, Andrew Callahan, they also had reports about the locker room, but Daniels cited the laughter specifically.
They can think whatever they want to think. So I didn't spot that. I don't have any doubt on anybody in the locker room on any front of how they compete, how they go about this game. We pour a lot into this game. Obviously, it's not how we're, you know, it's not the results we want, but there's a lot of emotions in this game, and I don't think that was a scene at all in the locker room.
Do you guys feel like each week during practice that you are as prepared as you possibly can be for each game day?
Yeah, I do.
Is not practicing in pads during the week at this stage of the year, is that commonplace, or is that something that changes as the year goes on?
I would say that's pretty common.
Hunter Henry, Patriots tight end, here on a Patriots Monday on Jones and Keefe. You guys are now 3-9. You signed back here this offseason. Do you feel like you made the right decision?
I do. I came here for a reason. Still feel like we're building something. Feel like we have a future we can continue to build for. And, you know, I've enjoyed really growing with Drake in a lot of ways, too, and just trying to build that chemistry, build that rapport with him. And excited to continue to build, man. Like, I signed up for 17 games, man. I'm excited for these next five, and starts with this week with the Colts.
You know, you came in as part of a big free agent class back in 2021, along with Jonnu Smith. He did not have a ton of success in his 2 years here in New England, but seems to be a perfect fit in Miami. I don't know if you keep in touch with Jonnu Smith or not, but certainly something to see his performance this season. And unfortunately for you, I guess for you guys, what he was able to do yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, John is a great football player. Obviously, just feel like in a lot of ways he's been able to thrive in the role that he's in over there. Super happy for him. I mean, it's where he's from, man. His family lives down there. So, I mean, it's just, I think, a perfect situation for him down there. You know, he's my guy. And, yeah, I was really close to, just really happy to see him thrive and have success.
We learned last week about Ben McAdoo's Thursday meetings with the offense. Sounds like a lot of Top Gun references, memes, Danger Zone playing throughout these meetings. How would you describe those Ben McAdoo meetings on Thursday?
I think they're great. I mean, it's a guy that's been around the league a long time, and he's able to present a lot to us. Feel like I've grown a lot and just my knowledge with everything too going into the game. So I appreciate those meetings.
You got any big Thanksgiving plans? I know it's a game week, but I don't know how much that impacts you guys for Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, just spend time with family, man. There's so much to be thankful for. I'm very thankful for my family, everyone that I'm surrounded with. So just spend some time being thankful and sitting around the table and really soaking it all up the time I get with my family.
All important question. What is your favorite Thanksgiving side?
I'm a sucker for green bean casserole. That's my favorite.
All right.
So that's my grandma made that. My mom made that. Now my wife's in charge always now. So it's my favorite.
Very good.
Did you have any Thanksgiving traditions growing up? I mean, I know there's a lot of, you know, high school football on Thanksgiving Day. Did you play football with the family or anything like that? Any traditions growing up?
Yeah, I think always football is always revolved around Thanksgiving in a way, but just football and family, man, that's That was always just, I think, the simple things that I would say are just traditions for us.
All right, Patriots tight end Hunter Henry joins us every Monday here on Jones and Keefe. Enjoy the holiday. Good luck against the Colts, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
All right, Hunter Henry, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. He's got to look at Jonnu Smith and be like,
holy mackerel.
You got out of Shawshank.
Yeah, like,
I didn't even think about asking about that. Great question. Like, just.
The guy's a weapon down there.
He went to Atlanta and immediately looked more dangerous.
Yeah, Arthur Smith.
Yeah, it helps to get away from Mac Jones, I'm sure. But he goes to Atlanta, immediately looks more dangerous. He's been awesome this year in Miami. Him and Hunter signed in the same class. And yeah, look what Jonnu Smith is doing. And Henry's been good this year.
No,
he's playing with a good quarterback. But like, oh man, it must be fun to live in a city like Miami and at least a team that feels like they're figuring something out as the year goes along.
Well, Smith's a weird one because he came in overrated because Bill Belichick had talked to him or talked about him during one of those tape breakdowns. And he said nobody was
more dangerous after the catch or something like
in
that.
In the league.
Yeah.
Than Jonnu Smith. And he had like seven touchdowns or whatever, I think, his last year in Tennessee. So he came in with like a decent amount of expectation. And that was also Josh McDaniels' year, where the offense was decent enough. They scored enough points, but he sucked that year. And then the next year with Matt Patricia, even worse. Everyone's going to be bad then. And then he got out of there. And then now he's like their number two receiver in Miami. It's crazy.
So Hunter Henry, if you missed any of that, it's on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. It's free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. Good to have during the holiday season. A lot of driving, probably a lot of time waiting in traffic around Thanksgiving. So make sure you get the Odyssey app on your phone. You won't miss any content here from WEEI. We'll talk to Christian Gonzalez later on in the program. Man-to-man-to-man coverage, three men. 10 questions with Christian Gonzalez later on a Patriots Monday. We have what happened? A spin around the NFL. Ooh. I see all you guys hanging out on the phones at 617-779-7937. We'll get to you, and we'll get back into some second guesses for the coaching staff, including another question Keith asked Hunter Henry. No padded practice on Wednesday seemed to impact him on the field yesterday. We'll get into that next.